I don't know if anyone has attended any of the services I led before, but I have been passionate about talking about wellness, and this is the first time I've been moved to talk about politics. So maybe we can start with the slides. There has been politicization of IQ lately, and at the center of this storm is Elon Musk. Musk is mistakenly known as a genius who founded PayPal, Tesla, and SpaceX. Wait a second, he was not a founder of either PayPal or Tesla. And his IQ is estimated to be 100 to 110, which is considered average. And 68% of the world's population has an estimated IQ, which is average, between 85 to 115. If you need more evidence, there is an engineer who I used to work with, worked with him at Twitter, and did not think that he was bright at all. Musk also famously said that government does not use SQL, or also known as SQL. It's a very basic database query language, which any software engineer worth their salt will tell you is most definitely used by government. If there is a database, there is SQL. Next slide, please. Also, Musk has not been the richest guy for very long. He has been in that spot in the last 3 out of 4 years, mainly with the rise of Tesla stock. Next slide, please. And this position, as you can see, I don't have 2024 and 2025 where Musk is, but this position keeps changing hands every few years. So just wait for a few years. Next slide, please. So the question comes, are rich people really intelligent? There has been a long-standing narrative that richer you are, smarter you are. First of all, anecdotal evidence tells me differently. I have personally witnessed billionaires making nonsense recommendations, and publicly, we all have seen that. Fortunately, these people had much smarter people working for them who did not implement those recommendations. I have also heard disgusting, misogynistic, and bigotry-filled recommendations from billionaires personally. In my definition of intelligence, which we'll come to in a bit, you cannot be vile and intelligent at the same time. There is a narrative to separate general intelligence or IQ from emotional intelligence or other types of intelligence. And I'm here to offer issues with that. Let's see what the data says. Research study done over 60,000 men in Europe says that IQ was a factor in their earnings up to 60,000 euros. And after that, it had negligible effect. In fact, the ultra-rich were relatively less intelligent. Being a man and being lucky are, in fact, higher predictors of being wealthy. A lot of people I know, and a lot of people I'm sure you know, just don't value being rich. So the reverse is also true. Poor people are not necessarily dumb. Let's come to the measures of intelligence. First IQ test was administered in 1904. It was developed in France to test which school children needed help. And later on, it became misused, even weaponized, and lately politicized. IQ tests have been used to administer forced sterilization to people with low IQ in Virginia in the 1920s. They have been used to kill children in Nazi Germany. Even today, IQ tests are misused for discriminatory practices. While there have been questions about also the reliability of IQ tests, they have been proven to be a reasonable tool to measure reasoning and problem-solving skills. They can be used to identify students who need academic support, employees who may need additional training, and elderly who may need assisted living. But there are better ways to measure human potential. Like Jane alluded to, how many of you think that ability to better manage clutter at home is a form of intelligence? How about a natural ability to identify and work with plants? or understand mountains? Are these forms of intelligence? Howard Gardner in 1983 said that they are. He offered his theory of multiple aspects of intelligence. Next slide, please. Let's see this infographic for a moment. I guess the part which is hidden on the, okay, now we have it, is body kinesthetic. Which ones do you identify with? Which ones do you think your loved ones may be good at? Let's take a moment. How can you move your body to get something done? How can we produce or listen to music, even if you don't produce music? How do you understand nature? How do you manage space around you? If you look at this list, the ones which are most emphasized in our society are linguistic and logical mathematical. If you have those two, you get paid a lot. And the third one comes interpersonal. But you can see the top section and intrapersonal are not some things which are emphasized. So Gardner not only offered these eight set of intelligences, he also said that his theory can accommodate more types of intelligence, more dimensions. And I would argue that self-awareness and empathy are two very important measures of intelligence. They become especially important when there are no easy decisions. And our species and the planet needs leaders who can understand nuances and make smart decisions which benefit the most of us and our future generations. Just imagine somebody is planning to build a dam, and in addition to the engineer, you also include somebody who understands nature, who understands people, who understands language, and what happens inside us. Let's move on to somebody I don't know whether you've heard of, but I call him Ken Wilber. He is the smartest guy you may have never heard of. I have often imagined taking a year off just to read his work. For context, Al Gore drew inspiration from Wilber's ideas. In 1995, Ken Wilber came up with integral theory, which showed levels of consciousness in two dimensions. Next slide, please. Previous. His dimensions, he has 10 levels of consciousness which are divided into two dimensions. Levels of growing up and levels of waking up. Levels of growing up means how we see the world. Do we see it at a personal level, at a tribal level, at national level, global level, cosmic level? Whereas waking up is about how we know the true truth inside us, who we are. So when you think about levels of growing up, maybe think about Ralph Waldo Emerson. Or when you think about levels of waking up, think about Buddha. Wilber is criticized for never publicizing in a peer-reviewed journal. He is also criticized for not being able to make a difference in practical terms. And his Integral Institute is criticized for being an echo chamber. To be honest, his synthesis of his spirituality, politics, religion, and spirituality is not meant to be correct or precise. It needs to be thought as inspirational framework. Next slide, please. So here is a graph which shows percentage of population by consciousness levels. We'll go into specifics of each of these levels, but generally speaking, think of it as left side is more personal, right side is more global and cosmic. So more grown up and more woken up is on the right side, and at the peak of it is something which is called, I think, the amber level, and that is more about being patriotic or like love it or leave it nationalism. There are implications of all of this in politics and how we can win politics. So next slide, please. This is a bit of an eye chart, but if you look at this, these are the bottom four levels. The first one is like an infant. When you come into the world, you don't know who you are. You're just like dependent on everybody. when you grow a little bit more, but you don't grow enough, you can develop superstitions, you can be part of gangs, that's tribal. Moving further, you may have a notion of feudal kingdoms, or you may be narcissist, and that's number three. And number four is the kind of people who support authoritarian, fundamentalist, or patriotic ideas. And when I say patriotic, it is more towards love it or leave it nationalism. What is astounding here is that 70% of the world's population, this is an estimate, and who knows about whether it's right or wrong, but very high number of this of world's population falls into this category. Next slide, please. Then we go into more levels of growth, which are rational, scientific, but also contains liberal self-interest. Green level, which is about empathy, diversity, eco-justice, animal rights. Now you're going beyond human beings. You're talking about the world as a whole. And the teal level, which is talking about things where you see holistic hierarchies. That is where you can integrate many ideas, you can see other people, their views, and incorporate their views. You can incorporate differences and pluralities without any problem. You're not at odds with other people's views, even though you may differ from them. And finally, next slide, please. You move into these levels. I'm not going to describe these in details, and we could maybe talk afterwards. But these, as you can see from the bottom up, they talk about when your personal self is dissolved, and this is the levels of waking up. Think about Buddha, or think about people who can manage to live the truth inside them as well as truth outside of them. There are only 0.1% of such people. Keep in mind that these levels are not fixed. There is no single human being who stays in a particular level all the time. We move between levels. Depending upon how we feel, how emotional we are, we keep moving up and down. And that's very important to understand, because anytime a leader who we respect, if they behave differently, we say, oh my God, they are failing us. But it's possible that this is just that they are not at their highest level today. So where do we go from here? Next slide, please. We need to combine Gardner and Wilbur. Next slide. What can we do for the world? So all these different aspects which Jane and I talked about, musical, nature, space, interpersonal, mathematical, linguistic, all these different kinds of intelligence needs to be combined with how we see the world and how we see ourselves. That combination has the key. Next slide, please. In both models, empathy is the key. Gardner's models, intrapersonal and interpersonal intelligence, results in having more empathy. Having a wider perspective and deeply knowing the truth in Ken Wilber's model takes us to more empathy. Either way, it becomes clear that empathy is really important measure of intelligence, and we are losing that over time, and we must start to reclaim that its importance. Next slide. Shifting to basketball. National men's basketball is in the playoffs currently, and this week Denver Nuggets played the top seed Oklahoma City Thunder. And Nuggets' top player played very poorly, but they still won. And I was watching the interviews. So Nuggets coach called one of their players the soul of their team for his selfless and focused play. And by the way, that player is Aaron Gordon from San Jose, from Bay Area. And when this player was asked how he felt about that comment, he thought for a moment and said, I'm not the soul. We are all a soulful group of people. And when another player from that team, Jamal Murray, was asked about what was their secret of outscoring Thunder, he said that their team valued difference of opinion, took healthy criticism from each other because they knew it comes from the heart, and they held each other accountable. And he said something very simple and very deep. He said, we needed all of us to succeed. Both of them showed high levels of empathy, decency, and ability to go beyond. There is a powerful connection between decency, kindness, and how we are doing as a country and species. We are declining in a key form of intelligence, namely empathy. We are missing the soul of the team. But imagine if we have that, it would keep us strong even if a particular important figure has a bad night. Basketball matches at the highest level are nothing short of a crisis. They are a battle. And our planet and our world is in a real crisis right now. If a basketball team needs everyone to win a game, we need all of us to survive. There is no way a few individuals, Trump, Musk, or Thiel, can save us. There is a practical math problem, though. Next slide, please. Let's review this again. 70% of the people are not going to be moved by the messages of globalism, empathy, and cosmic importance. So the remaining 30% who do understand that, they cannot win a democratic election, especially by taking a high road. Next slide. So when Michelle Obama said, "When they go low, we go high," does not work. Next slide. When they go low, we need to go low too, while staying high. What does that mean? We need to go low in our messaging, but we need to stay high in our scope and content. The ideas necessary for global and planetary well-being and survival must also be packaged in terms of personal gains, tribal gains, and national gains. When we say that polar bears are at the brink of extinction, it does not mean much to many people. We need to talk about how floods and wildfires are affecting them and their kins, how climate technology can create jobs, how immigrants benefit us all as a nation, and how playing well with other countries reduces prices of consumer goods. The message must be translated to people at all levels. Messaging at the right level is empathy. It is required. Next slide. The decisions we need to take for our survival are far too nuanced for a person with high IQ to address. We must rethink our jobs to use all of us in making key decisions. Artists, naturalists, computer scientists, clutter organizers, engineers, people with inter and intrapersonal skills. When they all collaborate together, we will not only survive, but we will also leave a world which is enriching for our future generations. Including all of us is empathy, and this form of empathy is not a luxury, it is a must.